only on the top line of Lamed Aleph, Lamed Aleph. Lamed Aleph, Lamed Aleph, the top line, yeah. We were discussing yesterday, we started discussing Kamlei B'Dirabimineh, in particular we were discussing the opinion of Rav Nachman ben Hakana about it, that Kamlei B'Dirabimineh applies not only with a Chiyuv Nisus Basin, which everybody agrees to, but even to a Chiyuv Karis. And we gave an example there, Gufa, getting back to what we said before, Amar of Chista, Mordir Rav Nachman ben Hakana, going to Chelva Yishachavere, Rav Nachman ben Hakana would agree if a person steals somebody else's Chelev, Ba'achla, and he eats it, Shehu Chayev. Then he is chayev to pay for the chaylev. Shapan is chayev v'gneva kodem shi'ar the day isu chaylev. Because then he becomes chayev already in the isu of gneva, because he became chayev in the isu of gneva once he picked it up. Kodem shi'ar the day isu chaylev before he ever reaches the isu of chaylev. Because that only happens, that the isu of chaylev only happens when he swallows it, yeah. Incidentally, by the way, there's an interesting thing that I saw. Interesting thing that I saw the Chassam Sofer wants to say, that in connection with the halachas of Yom Kippur, where also a person has chayav karis for eating on Yom Kippur, he wants to say that Yom Kippur is different than all other isuri achila in this regard. He wants to say that, with Yom Kippur, you're only chayav when the food actually reaches your stomach, not like with all other isurim, when you swallow it. He says, why? Because otherwise, why would our Gemara have to have this odd case where somebody steals chayav of all things, just to have somebody steal somebody else's food on Yom Kippur? If the fact is, if the Gemara is not giving that example, evidently that wouldn't work for our purposes, because we're trying to find a case where we're trying to find a case where the Isur Chelev happens as soon as he swallows it. Or yesterday we talked about Isur Truma similarly, and whereas with Yom Kippur that wouldn't happen until it reaches the stomach, which a lot of the Achronim after that argue on the Chassam Sofer and give different explanations and say that no, in fact, Yom Kippur is the same as all the Isuri Achila. They give various explanations why indeed the Gemara didn't want to use that example, why it preferred to give the idea of Chelev. One of them is we've discussed before. We've learned previously in Beitza, I think, was one place, the question of whether the Isurim whether the Isurim of Hitzah v'Achnasa, of carrying on Shabbos, do they also apply to Yom Kippur? If we mention this case over here of Yom Kippur, then that would get into that whole issue, and we didn't want to do that. So to keep things simple, the Gemara just left it with Chelev. Okay, the question is, Lema Pliga de Rab Ovin, should we say then that this statement of Rav Chista about the Chelev disagrees with Rav Ovin? The Amar Rav Ovin has in a different din, and this din of Rav Ovin, by the way, everybody agrees to. This would be even a chorin sachachamim. Has zoda chetz mitchilas arba l'sof arba. If somebody shoots an arrow which travels at least 4 amos in rishus arabim, the korah shiroyin b'halichase, and then on the way, as the arrow is flying, it rips through somebody's garment. Shiroyin literally means silk. The Pashas Gemara uses that as an example, just because it's expensive, and a rip in it would ruin it. Potter, that he's potter for paying for the silk, because with Shabbos, we know, we learned throughout the Sefer Shabbos that you have to have, carrying on Shabbos consists of Akira, lifting up the object, and Hanocha, putting it down. The Akira and the Hanocha are each one is needed for the other. You don't have a complete Malacha without both of them. Now, what happens over here? When the person, so what do you have over here? When he shot the arrow, it started flying.
From
Rishus Rabbim. Not from Rishus Rabbim, necessarily. It's not in Rishus Rabbim. For our purposes, it doesn't really matter. It would be the same thing. It would be the same thing with Pashtos if he shot it from Rishus Rabbim into Rishus Rabbim, as long as the point is that it ripped. The point is that it ripped the Shiroyin before it landed. So what's the point? On the face of it, he doesn't become chayav for the Isur Shabbos until it lands.
In his body.
No. Until it lands more than 4 amos away.
Okay.
When are you chayav for carrying or throwing something on Shabbos if it travels in Rishus Rabbim more than 4 amos? So on the face of it, he doesn't become chayav for the Isur Shabbos until the arrow has not only traveled 4 amos but landed on the ground. When does he become chayav for the silk, the pashtus, the moment it got ripped, which is while the arrow is in flight? But we're saying like this. Here we're saying Akira and Hanocha go together. You need both of them. You need an Akira and you need a Hanocha in order to be Chayiv Misa, in order to be Chayiv Misa for the Isur Shabbos. Therefore, you add an Akira. You shot the arrow.
Not a,
And you had a hanocha because eventually it landed. In between. Who said anything about the body? You didn't shoot the arrow in order to shoot somebody. You're shooting an arrow sound because you're doing target practice. But on the way, it ripped somebody's clothes. The point
and then
is,
it went through,
it traveled through. Maybe that's also why they wanted to use a silk, because if it was a heavier material, it might stop the arrow. But whatever, yeah.
So that's
what we're talking about. But, you know, the point is that the point is the malacha begins with the akira, it ends with the hanacha, and while that malacha is taking place is when the silk got ripped.
Right.
Therefore, we consider that kam lebedirav aminei. Hachanami, so shouldn't we argue over here? Hagbatzar hachili. Shouldn't we argue by the same token over here that lifting up the food is the beginning of the process of eating it? You need to lift it up in order to eat it. Incidentally, by the way, various mepharshim talk about why are we even mentioning the arrow flying for Amos? Shouldn't he be chayev for the malacha of kriya on Shabbos anyway? Ripping clothes itself is one of the 39 malachas. But the answer is ripping is the only chayev when it's done as ripping in order to fix a rip like they did in the Mishkan where the Gemara say there in Shabbos that, for example, if a moth ate a hole in one of the curtains of the Mishkan, and it's a round hole. You can't easily sew up a round hole. They'll have to rip it above and below the hole, so now they have a long rip that they can easily stitch up. That's the kind of kriya you have for on Shabbos. Otherwise, it's a kalkol. So you'd be potter for the ripping itself. You only have to pay the other person because you ripped his clothes. But because it happened during the Akir of Hanukkah, therefore you're potter for that.
And they didn't discover
something. They didn't discover to for the Shiraim. No, even if he was discovering for the Shiraim, it doesn't matter. It's still Makalkali. Yeah. Anyway, so if we're saying over there that you need the Akira and Hanacha together, by the same token over here, you need the lifting up in order to eat the Chalev, so why are we saying that you Chayev as soon as you lift up the Chalev? The answer is Hachi Hashta. How could you think to compare them? Hasvi Yevshala Hanacha Bole Akira. In that case, you taka cannot have Hanacha without Akira. If you had Hanacha without an Akira that took place on Shabbos, or like we'll learn soon, if you had an Akira which for whatever reason you'd be potter for, then indeed, then you're not chayev. Then you don't have the kamalei b'dinabimine. Hacha Efshala Achila Bole Hagba. Here, it's possible to eat without lifting up the food. You can bend down and eat it without actually lifting it up. Rashi says you're bending down below three tefachim. If below three tefachim is not considered hagbah, it's not considered lifting it up.
If
the food is on the floor, for example, lies down on the floor and eats it and not takes it. Well, it could even be takes it in his mouth. Yeah, it could be picks it up with his hand, whatever. But it's within three tefachim of the ground, so it's still considered like it's on the ground. Which Tosfos points out, the Gemara could also answer the answers that we had yesterday. Somebody else put it in his mouth. Inami, or so. Therefore, obviously, there's a difference. You don't have to say that Rav Avin and Rav Chista are arguing. Yes, in the case of Chalev, a person steals somebody else's Chalev and eats it. If we're talking about that he stole it in the sense that he bent down and then ate it within three tefachim of the ground, yes, then he never did Hagbah on it. Whereas with the arrow, there's no way to do the hanacha of the arrow without the akira.
You can't shoot within three tefachim
of the ground. No, you could maybe, but then you wouldn't be high for akira of hanacha actually. If it's all within three tefachim of the ground,
yeah.
If it's all within, we learned in Shabbos all kinds of cases about that. It wouldn't necessarily be considered ma'aver abamis b'shus rabim anyway, because it's within three tefachim. It's lavud, so yeah. It would be considered. We had a couple of complicated sugyas about it in Shabbos. Do we say it's considered like it landed because within three tefachim of the ground, or do we say that not? Whatever. For Shabbos, that's not really the gay. The point is, for Shabbos, you need to shoot the arrow and it needs to land. You need the akira, you need the hanacha. In the case of the eating, you don't necessarily need to be lifting it up. Inami, or another way that we should make a distinction, hasem iboy la adura le matz mahadula. In the case of the arrow, once you shoot it, you can't get it back. So as soon as you shoot it, inevitably it's going to rip the shiroi, it's going to rip the silk. Hacha matzi mahadola. Whereas in the case of stealing somebody's chaylev and eating it, you're able to take it back. You're able to spit it out. So therefore, yes, there's an obvious reason to make the distinction that with the case of the arrow and the silk, as soon as you shoot the arrow, already at that point the malacha of Shabbos is beginning. The Malacha of Shabbos ends you at that point. By the time it ends, you can once you shot the arrow, you don't control it anymore. It rips the shiroyin on the way. Therefore, you have the Isser Shabbos and the fact that you ruined somebody's clothes and have to pay for them come at the same time and therefore come libidid avimine. Whereas in the case of the eating, yes, maybe you're talking about that you picked it up you picked it up normally, let's say, or even not. Even let's say fine, you're within three tefachim of the ground. You put it in your mouth, but still, you become chayev to return it. You become chayev to pay back for it. You become chayev to pay back for it. You could have spit it out. So when you didn't spit it out and instead you swallowed it, now at that point you have two different chiyuvim. So you have two different chiyuvim at two different times. One was the isur gneiva and one was the isur chaylev. So Gemara says, my ikur ben hai lishna lahayish lishna. Okay, so what's the actual difference? Where would you have an actual case that's different between these two explanations? Whether we're saying that the difference is whether the hanocha and whether you need akira and hanocha, or in the case of the chelev you don't, because you can be bending down to the ground, or whether it's something that you can control after you started it versus not. What's the difference? The answer is ikur ben hai. Hamav a second bishos rab makara shiroyin balakase. The nafkamina would be, what if instead of shooting an arrow, you're carrying a knife through and as you're carrying it, you slash the shiroyim. On Shabbos, we're talking about. Instead of shooting an arrow, which once you shoot the arrow, you can't bring it back, you can't control it. Here, you're carrying the knife. You're walking through the shasarabim with a knife in your hand. As you walk along, you see the shiroyim are there. You slash them as you go along and continue walking. So according to the lashon. Now the critical thing is the fact that you can't have hanocha without akira. Hachanami yeshal hanocha b'le akira. Same thing applies in the case of the knife over here. The akira and the hanocha are two parts of the malacha. You need both of them to be chayev. In the course of doing that malacha is when you rip the clothes. Therefore it's considered that they came at the same time. It's considered common with the rabbi.
Blahach lishna d'amad le'moti mahas.
You did the akira, you slashed the clothes, and then you did the hanacha. But the point is, because the damage is being done between the akira and the hanacha, and both the akira and the hanacha are critical to Shabbos, and you can't have one without the other, therefore it's considered like it all happened at one time. Whereas according to the second lashon, the reason for the difference is in the case of the arrow you can't get it backwards, in the case of the chalev you could spit it out. Here you control the knife, you could stop, you could avoid slashing. It's not necessarily when you picked up that knife, it wasn't inevitable that the clothes are going to be slashed. Yeah. According to that way of looking at it, there might not be a difference between the two cases. And then we would have to say that of chister and of oven are arguing. The Magid Mishnah, the Rambam Paskins in Hilchos Gneiva, the Rambam Paskins, this din about shooting the arrow and slashing the clothes, that you'd be chayev, because it's come with the Rambam Minei. And the Magid Mishnah discusses over there that it seems, according to the Rambam, that he would accept the second statement over here, that if instead of an arrow it was a knife, you would be chayev. Because you control the knife. And he explains that the Rambam would explain the whole subsequent sugya according to that.
What's the difference if you control if you don't?
The difference is, that's the difference we're saying, because it, just like with the chalev, you control it. You picked up the chalev, you put it in your mouth, you still control things at that point. You're still in control of things at that point. You could spit out the chalev. If you don't, then when you picked it up, when you picked up the chalev, it wasn't inevitable that you're going to swallow it. Therefore, we say the picking up and the swallowing are two different things.
Right.
Same thing with the knife. When you picked up the knife, it wasn't inevitable that you're going to be damaging somebody's clothes. So when you did that, and then later on, you finished the malacha, and then at that point became chayev misa, it wasn't inevitable that those two things had to be together.
As opposed to the arrow, yeah.
In Shulchan Aruch, it talks about this din, also, in connection with the next thing that we're going to talk about over here about a person stealing on Shabbos when he is and isn't chayev misa, when we do say kamal b'dedav minei versus not, And it seems over there that the tour and the tour versus the mechaber have two different understandings of this. Which of these answers we accept? Is it the inevitability answer, or in which case we would say there's a difference between a knife and an arrow, or is it the ef shalakira v'lai hanocha, that's two parts of the same malacha, in which case there's no real difference. We said yesterday, it means that if a person has done something which makes him chayev misa, or according to the Nechonim and Akana, chayev karet, then because he's getting that, therefore he's potter from paying for anything that happened at the same time.
Take the most serious.
Yeah. Kufa. Okay, getting back to what we said, Amar Abavin, Hazor chetz mitchilas avel asayf avel, if a person shoots an arrow four amas in Rishas Rabin, v'kara shiroin v'alichosei, and he rips silk clothes while the arrow is going, potter sh'akira tzor hanochi, because we said the akira and hanocha are two halves of the same malacha, and one, you can't have one without the other. Masiv Rabibi Barbaya, so Rabibi Barbaya, Rabibi, or actually the Shalach HaKadosh says really the name should be pronounced Bevai. Anyway, Masi Rabibi or Rabevai Barabaya. Yeah. Right. Okay, you're thinking of the speech. Yeah. Come on. Hagoyin of Kis B'Shabbos Chayev. If a person steals a wallet on Shabbos, a money bag on Shabbos, he's Chayev. Shekman is Chayev B'Gnev, according to Shiyavu, the day is a skiller, because he already became Chayev in Isser of stealing, because as soon as he picked it up, he became Chayev to return the object or to pay for it. Before he ever came to the Issa Skila, which would only happen when he took it out of the house, which we'll have to discuss later when at what point he becomes Chayev with that, but wait. Haya Megara V'yotze, Megara V'yotze, but Braisa continues if he was dragging the money bag along the ground and then going out, Potter. Then he is Potter. Then we say, Kam Lebedirabimine, Shari Issa Shabbos of Gneva Boin Kecha, because then the Issa Shabbos and the Issa of Gneva happen at the same time. Because in the normal case where he picks it up, when does he become Chayev? As soon as he picked it up, intending to steal it. At that point, it becomes his responsibility to either return the thing if it's still Ba'ain, or if it got damaged or whatever, to repay for it or whatever. And the Issa Shabbos only happens when he carries it from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah, which actually we'll get to that later. But if he's dragging it, when does he become Chayev in the Issa of Gneva? Only when he takes it out of the guy's Roshus. The Gemara is going to mention on Amud Beis that a person's hand is considered like a Roshus of its own as far as Shabbos, and apparently also as far as Hilchos Gneva. So if a person actually picks it up with his hand and he put it in his Roshus, whereas if he's dragging it out, he never put it in his hand, therefore he only becomes Chayev in it once he actually took it out of the guy's Rishus. And at that same moment is when he becomes Chayev in the Issa Skila. He took it from Rishus Yachad to Rishus Rabin. Shari Issa Shabbos of Neva Boin Kachos. So the question is, Vamai, Hachanami, why don't we say the same thing over here, Lema Hagbot Tzorech Haitzahi. You just said before that Akira and Hanocha go together. So in that case, even if he picked up the wallet, the picking it up, yes, is an act of Gneva, but it's also the beginning of the act of Chilul Shabbos. And we said that, and we said that. Therefore, we said in the case of the silk, we said Rav Avin said that therefore he'd be potter because Akira Tzorech Hanochi. So why is our Braita saying he'd be Chayev? Shouldn't it be the same logic? Now again, it makes a difference. Now again, this is the key thing. It makes the difference which of the two answers before we accepted, whether it's something that's in your control or whether it's just akira tzara hanochi. Here it's akira tzara hanocha, but it's obviously in your control. So with that, so the first answer would apply, the other one would not, right? Yeah. So there's the question. So why don't we say, when he picks it up, at that point he's becoming Chayev in Issu Gneva, but at that same moment he's also beginning the Malacha of Shabbos, which eventually is going to be completed with the Hanacha and Rosh Hashanah. The answer is, Hachav, my skin is going to shake via manas latzniyoy. Yes, but you could be talking about over here where he picked this object up originally, picked the wallet up originally, intending to put it away. He went into the other guy's house. He saw the wallet lying over there. His first thought is, you know what, what's this wallet doing lying on the table? Let me go put it away in the drawer until after Shabbos. And then while he's holding it, then he thinks, you know what, forget about it. If the guy couldn't be bothered to put away his wallet before Shabbos, he obviously doesn't care about it. I'll take it with me. Which, by the way, there is actually a famous story in that, a famous Moshemska story in that regard of a guy who sees two best friends. One time one of them is over by the other one's house and sees a money bag lying around, and he thinks to himself, how could the guy be so careless as to leave his money lying around? Let me take it and let me steal it. Let me put sort of pretend to steal it, and that way he'll get a good scare, and then afterwards I'll return it to him and say, look, you know, you got to be more careful. The upshot of it is, though, once the guy finds his money bag is gone, of course, you know, he hits the roof and, you know, everything starts developing from there, and now the guy is afraid to return it. You know, at this point, they're going to start saying, you know what, you really did intend to steal it, and now you changed your mind, and they're still going to clap him in jail. Years pass, he still hasn't figured out how to make good on the thing until one day the Baal Shem Tov meets him on the road and whispers in his, goes over and whispers in his ear. The Talmidim actually had no idea of the back story. They think, you know, the Baal Shem Tov is going over to a guy on the road and whispering to him, he must be a tzaddik nisker or something. So they go and start badgering the guy and pestering him until he finally tells them the story. And what did the Baal Shem Tov tell you? He said, go back to your friend, tell him exactly what you were thinking at the time. He's not going to press charges. He's not going to nothing. He's going to accept your word, but do it. And he did. After the Baal Shem Tov told him he will. And the Baal Shem, I think actually in the story, the Baal Shem Tov tells him, you know what, if your friend doesn't believe you, call me, I'll be your character witness. But by the way, I mean, the halacha is you're not even allowed to steal from somebody, even as a joke or whatever, but yeah. Anyway.
When do you pull the gun out the minute you take?
Well, that's what we're talking about over here. But it's halacha chila over here. When this guy picked up the wallet intending to put it in the drawer, he wasn't a ganav yet at that point because he was intending to do his friend a favor and put it away. Afterwards, he figured, you know what, let me carry it out. One second. The point is, he didn't become chayev in gneva when he picked it up then. When did he become chayev in gneva? It would be the same as dragging it, when he takes it out of the house. At that moment is also the Isser Shabbos.
But you said that he takes it in his hand, like changing the reshut.
That's when he's taking it in his hand, intending to change the reshut, intending to take it for himself.
So you need more than just putting it in your hand. You need a kavana.
You need a kavana, of course. You need a kavana for most anything. Yeah.
Because changing...
Yeah, no. I mean, obviously, if I pick up your hat, doesn't mean that I'm trying to be koneh for myself. So, you know, only if I pick it up intending to steal it. If I'm picking it up intending to put it back on your head, that's not opinion. Yeah.
So why not the minute they decided to take it out?
Because it's already in his hand. Then he didn't do anything at that point.
Just walking.
Just walking doesn't do anything. So until he takes it out of the reshus. Yeah.
You need changing the reshus and the kavanah.
Yeah.
For Shabbos you need the akira,
right. Question is, would you be chayev as far as Shabbos is concerned in that case, if you picked up something not for the purpose of carrying it outside, but just for the purpose of putting it away in a drawer and later on you changed your mind? No, if somebody on Shabbos is moving around things from one corner to another in his house, and then while he has something in his hand, he changes his mind and carries it outside, potter. He's potter, because the original akira was not meant for the intention of carrying it out. In Shabbos, the general rule in Hilchos Shabbos, Melechas Machshavas, also Torah, you need to have that the Melacha is something that you intended to do. It has to be that you intended the Akira for the purpose of carrying it in a way that's Osir, out to another Rishos, to four Amos and Rishos and Abim, and the Hanacha also has to be with that intention. Here, the Akira was with an intention that's Mutter. You were doing the Akira with the intention of putting the object in another corner. Which is mutter.
Changing the reshus.
No, not changing the reshus.
Within the same reshus,
you're in your house, you decide, you know what, I don't like the way the table is set. I'm gonna move this plate from here over there.
Right.
And then while you have it in your hand, you figure, you know what, let me just take it out to the trash. I don't like it at all. That's the case with saying your potter.
As opposed to if you just had the intention to put it in the trash in the first place.
Then you would be chayev, because then you did the akira with that intention of going and taking it out. So over here, if we're saying that this guy picked up the money bag intending to put it away, and then he changed his mind and carried it outside, to put it away in the same reshus, and then he carried it out to a different reshus, he wouldn't be chayev for Hilchos Shabbos at all. So there's no kamalei with the Rabbim. Of course he's chayev for the theft then. The answer is, you're right. Don't say that when we said that when we gave the answer before that he picked it up intending to put it away, that's not, we shouldn't say that. No, he did pick it up intending to carry it out. Then you're back to the question, he isn't two halves of the same malacha, and then he should be, and then there should become limited av. I mean, why are we saying he's chayev? The reason is hachav mayaskin and kisha amad, because we're talking about over here where he picked it up, and then before he went outside, he stood still. He picked up the money bag, he walked five steps, then he stopped. So that akira that he did originally is done with. At that point, he stopped inside the house still. So at that point, he's done the hanocha. At that point, when he stopped, he's done the hanocha. We learn in Shabbos that when you're carrying something, the akira and the hanocha, the akira of your body and the hanocha of your body constitute the akira and hanocha of the object. So what happened? So he did a first akira, intending to steal the thing, intending to take it outside. But then he did a hanocha. He stopped. He stood still. That's the hanocha. So that thing is over. And that there was no malacha over there, because it's all inside. That was all inside. But that part of that akira v'hanocha. So that had akira v'hanocha so far had nothing to do with Hilchos Shabbos. It just that original akira made him chayev for the theft, because that was an akira that had nothing to do with Hilchos Shabbos. Because in the end he did a hanocha that doesn't make him chayev in Shabbos. All in the same rishus, right? So at that point now, from the original akira, he's chayev in the theft, he's chayev for Gneva. Now he does another akira, now he starts walking again, and walks outside. And then he becomes chayev for Hilchos Shabbos.
With the kavanah of walking outside.
Yes.
Not just...
Yes. So therefore, so that's the case we're talking about. There were actually two different times, there were two different akiras and two different hanachas, and therefore, yes, one of them, the akira of one of them constituted the Gneva, and the akira of the hanacha of the other one constituted the Isser Shabbos. However, the question is, Olam Lamai, what exactly are we talking about? Why did he stand still? Elakatif, if he stood in order to adjust the load, sometimes, you know, you're carrying something, and like I said, it's uncomfortable or whatever, so you stop a minute in order to adjust where you're holding it or whatever. Urchehu, that's still considered the normal way of carrying, and actually that standing is not even considered a hanocha as far as Hilchos Shabbos.
Because
as a general rule in Hilchos Shabbos, for example, if somebody were carrying something in Rosh Hashanah,
right.
Technically a person is allowed to carry something less than 4 amos at a time in Rosh Hashanah. Usually you shouldn't do that. There's certain loopholes we learned in Shabbos. There's certain exceptions that we make for it. One of them being actually tacked in the case of a money bag, where a person is coming home late on Friday and he's not going to have he doesn't have a chance to get home before Shabbos. You can't expect him to leave his money. No normal person is going to do that. If he doesn't have a goy or an animal or a cotton or whatever with him, then we allow him to carry it kachas midalat amos, less than 4 amos at a time. But it has to be, in order for that to work, it has to be that each time he stands, as the Gemara is going to say in a second, lofush, he stands in order to take a break. Or for whatever weather. Otherwise, if he's carrying this burden, he carries it 2 amos, and then he stops in order to adjust it, and continues walking another 2 amos, he will be tired. But he's walked 4 full amos. And we don't consider the standing, lakatif is not considered a standing that breaks up the malacha.
What breaks it up?
That's, so if he stood just to adjust the burden, and that's considered the normal way of doing things, that wouldn't be considered stopping. Obviously, it has to be that he's standing in order to rest or for any other reason. I mean, it could also be, for example, you know, the resting. It could also be, for example, maybe in between. He's thinking over, should I really be stealing this? And okay, I don't know if that would work. Maybe that would cancel the original akira. Also, I don't know. Okay, let's lock that into that. But whatever. So he picks up the money bag. He walks 5 amos within the house. He stops to rest a minute. Then he starts up again and walks out. That was the case we're talking about. So that's when we're saying he'd be chayev, because there's two different akiras and two different anachas. Question is, Abba Lakatif Mai, so what are you implying then, that if he stopped inside the house over there in order to adjust the load, would you say Potter? That he'd be Potter from paying, because then you have the two Isurim come together? Because then again, we would say that the original Agva accomplished two things. It accomplished the Gneva, and it accomplished the beginning of a Malacha of Shabbos, which then you'd say that Kamlev Zidav Amineh, because they both happened at the same time. then in that case, adatoni hoye magarav yotze potter. So why bechlal? Why is the braisa bothering to mention the side thing? You have a separate case. You have one case where he's picking it up versus another case where he's dragging it. Let the braisa make a distinction within picking up and carrying the wallet itself. When would we say that he's chayev if he stopped inside the house in order to rest? Avalakatif potter. But if he stopped in order to adjust the burden, or he didn't stop for anything at all, potter. Why doesn't the braisa do that? If the braisa can't find any case if the braisa can't find any case where at that point he'd be potter, because we say as soon as he picked up the wallet, he's chayev in the isug neva. Evidently, it sounds like our braisa disagrees with Rav Oven's idea about akira tzorach hanocha hi. We would say that no, very nice. It's true you can't have hanocha without akira. Nevertheless, though, you're not chayev in isur shabbos until the hanocha takes place. The akira will treat as a separate thing as far as the gneva. So yes. You pick it up, you've done the Gneva. You put it down later, at that point you become chayiv in the Isser Shabbos. Similar to what we were saying before about stealing the chaylev. You pick up the chaylev, that's one Isser, the Isser Gneva. You swallow it, that's the second Isser, the Isser chaylev. It sounds like our braisa is saying the same kind of thing. So that there's no case, like Rav Oven is saying, where we'd say that Hilchos Shabbos are different than the halachas of chaylev. We would be saying, the braisa would be saying, seems to be saying that once you pick it up, inevitably, you're going to be chayev to pay for it. There's no way that at this point you can be carrying it out and finish the malacha without having previously already been chayev for the isur gneva. According to Rav Oven, not so. According to Rav Oven, you're not chayev for the isur gneva. The isur gneva and the isur shabbos are starting at the same time, and that's considered kamlev the rabbinate. The answer is Ella Homani ben Azahi. No, but you could say that. Let's forget the idea that we're talking about whether he stood still or not. Let's say he picked up the wallet and continued walking. Homani ben Azahi. Or Brisa could be going according to Ben Azai. Don't remember Halach Ka'imad Dami. Ben Azai says in Shabbos that walking is considered like standing. When a person walks, you pick up one leg and put down the other. Ben Azai says, every time you put down your foot, that's considered a hanocha. Every time you pick up your foot, it's considered an akira. So again, therefore, before we were assuming that we're talking about those two different acts of akira v'hanocha, one that takes place all within Rishus HaYachid, and one that takes place going from Rishus to Rishus, and therefore we said each one has a different effect. One is the Isur Gneva, one is the Isur Shabbos. According to Ben Azai, you don't need that. According to Ben Azai, you pick it up, you start walking a few steps. Every one of those steps constitutes an akira and hanocha.
Regular walking.
So the original akira v'hanocha, the first step that you took after picking up the wallet, makes you chayev for the isur gneva. The next one is still within the house, nothing more. The third one, nothing more. Eventually you reach the threshold of the house, and at that point you're getting the isur shabbos.
What about
the dal damis b'shus rabin? So Tosfos, according to Ben Azai, how you chayev for dal damis b'shus rabin? So Tosfos quotes from the Yerushalmi that says, you're right, according to Ben Azai, you'd only be chayev for four amos in Rosh Hashanah if you jump. If you jump full four amos.
One shot. Okay.
Yeah, over.
But if you take a step, you're chayev already.
No, according to Ben Azai, if you were to carry four amos in Rosh Hashanah in the normal way, you'd actually be potter, according to Ben Azai, because you're taking a step that's within four amos, and that you're doing an akira. You take one step, which is 2 or 3 feet, one or two amas. You stop. He considers, when you put down your foot, it's considered stopping. No malacha. You pick up your foot. You walk another amah or two. No malacha, etc.
Because
less than four amas, you're not chayev. So yeah, Tosfos quotes from the Yerushalmi that actually you'd be chayev in for Shus Rabim Dalet Amas only if you're jumping. The Babli, if you jump full four amas. But yeah, from the beginning, yes.
Well,
yeah.
They were carrying the Mishkan, right?
So the Babli says different. The Babli says that it's different. When it comes to the chiyuv of four amas in Rosh Hashanah, and we have the Kabbalah, Gemara, Hilchos Gemiri law, that you even according to Ben Azai, that you chayev, even though in that case we do ignore the sakir of hanocha business. He would only say it according to the Babli. He would only say it when you're going from one Rosh Hashanah to another. which therefore it's relevant, as the Gemara is going to talk about soon. According to Benazeh, for example, if you're going from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah via a Carmelist, so according to the Rabbanon, you'd be chayiv if you didn't stop in the Carmelist, because you carried from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah. According to him, no, because it's considered that you stopped in the Carmelist. I saw, by the way, a bit of a funny vote about this. I can't remember now from who it was that said this. He said, in that case, then according to Ben Azai, we know the famous thing, why you don't lay Megillah on Shabbos, you don't blow Shofar on Shabbos, etc. The famous Gzeder Dinaba, Shema Yitlenu B'Yadav, Aviyana Abamas Rishon Rabim. If according to Ben Azai, according to the Yerushalmi's understanding of Ben Azai, if you're only chayev for jumping, so what's the reason to make a chiyuv? Are you going to go jump around with the Shofar or the Lulav or whatever? And he says, yes, this goes to show that you have to jump for a mitzvah. And Ben Azai himself doesn't care if you have a rock for mitzvah kala. So therefore, so mahalakai madami. So according to Ben Azai, walking is when you're walking, it's considered stopping, starting. Therefore, you have many different sets of akiras v'hanachas. One of them constitutes the gneva, and another one constitutes the eser shabbos. Again, the question is abel zur. Is therefore no kamei mizravene, right? The question is what? Abel Zodak Mai Potter. So what are you implying then? That according to Ben Azai, if the person picked up the wallet and then threw it, what you'd be implying according to Ben Azai that he's Potter? Because then obviously there is a single Akira Vanacha. In that case, Niflig V'nisne B'dida. Then you still are back to the question, why does the Braisa have to bring in the case of Goder of dragging the money bag? Niflig V'nisne B'dida. Let the Braisa make a distinction within the picking up itself, even according to Ben Azai, you have a way that he could be potter. When do we say that he's chayev for paying for the wallet? If he's walking, Abel Zodak potter, but if he throws it, he'd be potter. The answer is Megara v'yotze tzrichale, because the Braita did want to tell us the chiddush about Megara, the chiddush about dragging. Yes, it's true, according to this understanding of the Braisa, the Braisa could just as well have mentioned you pick it up and carry it versus you pick it up and throw it. But instead, the Braisa preferred to give us the case about dragging Sakadat Kamina in Derech HaSavakach, because otherwise you might have thought that's not a normal way of carrying. Maybe you shouldn't be chayev for the Isra Shabbos at all. Kamash Malon, that's the Chiddush that nevertheless is considered a normal way. Which then the question becomes, how is it a normal way? Who am I? What kind of case are we talking about? Iber Rav Ravi, if it's a big money bag, well, and of course that's the natural way to do it is to drag it. Then there's no chiddush. Iber Zutri, and if it's a small one, Lava Urchihu, then it's not the normal way, then you wouldn't be chayev because it would be considered Hatzal Kalachayad. It's carrying in an unusual way. The answer is Elab Mitzi. You're right, necessarily. You would have to say that the Braisa is talking about a medium-sized bag. So it's the kind of thing you could pick it up, but you could pick it up or you could drag it. Some people would do one, some people would do the other. Still, you might think most people would probably pick it up. You don't want to drag around a money bag. What if it develops a hole and all the money falls out? Nevertheless, the Braisa is telling us because it's somewhat heavy, it's normal enough to drag it out, and therefore you could be chayav for an Issur Shabbos that way as well.
If it was not a normal way,
you'd be potter from Hilchos Shabbos, and once you're potter from Hilchos Shabbos, automatically you're chayav for the Gneiv anyway, yeah. Next, the question is, okay, the next part of the question we have to ask is, where is the person taking out this wallet, this money bag to? Now, in order to understand the next part, we have to understand that when you coin something, In what reshus can you be koyneh of something? Generally speaking, we say you can. Generally speaking, and we're going to discuss this soon, you cannot be koyneh of something in reshus rabim. If somebody gives you something in reshus rabim, or you pick it up yourself in reshus rabim, not necessarily are you koyneh of it. And there's certain exceptions to that. Dal amas chaladim koyneh slay in certain cases. Generally speaking, things in Rosh Hashanah are hefker, but usually you can't be koyneh something in Rosh Hashanah. When can you be koyneh something? In Rosh Hashanah Yachid, or also in what's called a simta, like a side alley. If people don't stop to transact business in Rosh Hashanah, usually it would be like standing in the middle of the street and transacting business. You go off to a side street, and you do your business over there. You can be koyneh something over there. So we have to ask, what reshus is this guy taking the wallet into if we're talking about him dragging it? which Rishus is he bringing it into that he's b'chlal making a kinyan on it, which makes him chayav for gneva? If he dragged it out to Rishus Rabim, Isur Shabbos Ikur Isur Gneva Leka, then he has the Isur Shabbos, true, because we just established that that's one of the normal ways of doing this, is to drag it, but then you don't have the Isur Gneva because he hasn't made a kinyan on it.
Because
he took it out of the other guy's Rishus, but he hasn't brought it into a Rishus where he's able to be koine it. And if he took it out to Rishus HaYachid, let's say, for example, that the two backyards are next to each other, so he schleps it out from the other guy, out the other guy's back door through his backyard and then into his own backyard. And it's the other way, man. Isur Gneva, Isur Shabbos Lecha. Sure, you have the Isur Gneva because he's coming it as soon as it comes into his Rishus, but then there's no Isur Shabbos. There's no Isur Shabbos for Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaYachid.
Even if it's not the same, it's not easy. Else
yeah, it doesn't matter. Minat Torah, you can carry throughout all the Rishus HaYachid you want. It's only Midrabanan that you have the concept that, which is the whole Masechta Eruvin is built around this concept that you have to have if you have a Rishus HaYachid that more than one person has control over, that you have to make an Eruv between them. But that doesn't change the Dinim D'Oraisa. The answer is, L'Tzvicha Da'afil Tzidi Rishus Rabim. Okay, you could be talking about where he schlepped it out into the sides of Rishus HaRabim. What does that mean? We learned we learned a week or two ago that the people used to put up like stakes or posts or whatever on the sides of Rishus HaRabim so that people don't walk in the street right next to their walls and deface them or knock them down or whatever. Those tzidir Rishus HaRabim, sometimes you have that. So those tzidir Rishus HaRabim, people don't normally walk on those because that's the whole purpose of that line of stakes, is to keep people out of that. And therefore, that's considered similar to a simta. It's considered like that side street where people would transact business, and therefore you can do a kinyan over there.
That's considered what?
Well, that's the question. Uchaman. Fine, that takes care of the Isur Gneva. But who are we talking about, according to? Ikir of Eliezer, Da'amat Tzidir Rishus HaRabim, Kir Rishus HaRabim, Damu. According to Rabbi Eliezer, who said that these Tzidir Rishus HaRabim are just like Rishus HaRabim, then you're back to the question. Isur Shabbos, Ikir, Isur Gneva, Leka. Then you have the Isur Shabbos, but you don't have the Isur Gneva because you can't do a Kinyan over there. Ikir Abanan, Da'amat Tzidir Rishus HaRabim, Lab Kir Rishus HaRabim, Damu. And according to the Abanan, that the Tzidir Rishus HaRabim are not considered like Rishus HaRabim, they're considered like timeless. Isur Gneva, Ikir, Isur Shabbos, Leka. Then you have only the Gneva and not the Shabbos. The answer is La'olam k'Rabbi Eliezer. You could say we're talking according to Rabbi Eliezer. V'chi Amar Rabbi Eliezer Tzidir Rishus HaRabim Kir Rishus HaRabim Damu Hani Milu Inin Chiyuvah D'Shabbos. He says he would make a distinction. He would say, you know, when I'm saying this place is considered like Rishus HaRabim, I don't mean it's a full-fledged Rishus HaRabim for all different purposes in Halacha. I mean, as far as Isur Shabbos, I consider it Rishus HaRabim.
Meaning it's enough for Isur Shabbos?
Yeah. Why? L'inyan chiyuv of the Shabbos, as far as the chiyuv of Shabbos, the zimnid dachki rabim v'ayli l'hasam, because sometimes there's a big crowd in Rishus HaRabim, and yes, people have to push their way into these side areas. So it gets used enough, according to Rabbi Yezer, that you still can consider it a part of Rishus HaRabim. And therefore, you're chayav as far as Shabbos. Aval l'inyan nikna kani, but when it comes to making a kinyan, yes, you could be kinyan there. My time at the shchichi rabim, because you don't have rabim there. It's considered like a simta. So yes, you could say so. In other words, we assume that if Rabbi Eliezer says it's considered Rishus HaRabim, it means across the board. And if a Chum is saying it's not considered Rishus HaRabim, it means across the board. We're saying that no, Rabbi Eliezer would make that distinction. Rabbi Eliezer would say it's Rishus HaRabim as far as Shabbos, but a Kamalist or Simta or whatever you want to call it as far as Kenyan. So therefore, yeah. So the guy schlepped out the wallet into the city of Rishus HaRabim. Therefore, he became chayev according to Rabbi Eliezer in Isur Shabbos. And at that point, he also became chayev in the Isur Gneva, because at that point, he was koine it, because it's in a place where he's able to make a kinyan on it. Rav Ashi Yomah, here's another possibility. You could have a case. When are we talking about when he's dragging it out? Let's say he actually drags it out to Rishus HaRabim. But what does he do? He puts his hand down within 3 tefachim of the ground and pulls the wallet onto his hand.
That's on the ground the whole time.
Right. Since it's below 3 tefachim, it's lavud, so it's considered like it's on the ground. But Tidur Rava, this works because of what Rava said. Amar Rava, Yadei Shel Adam Chashuv Lo Ka'avar Al Avar. A person's hand is considered significant to him as if it was a place Avar Al Avar. Usually we have in Hilchos Shabbos, when we talked before about a Kirav Hanocha, you have to have, we learned in Shabbos, that the Hanocha has to take place on a surface of 4x4 Tefachim, or 4x4 Tefachim, yeah. Yeah, I can never remember Tfachim or Amos, but yeah, Tfachim.
Yeah, my boy, Tfachim. Yeah. Arba, Amos is Arba.
Right, right.
That's where a piece of the stick is, not the...
Right, the right. But in this case, what we say... Now why is that? Because if you put it on something any smaller than that, it's not a real hanacha, because people don't normally put things on areas smaller than 4x4. They're afraid it'll fall down. But what happens? People commonly put things in their hand, and their hand, of course, holds it. Their hand holds it very well. So therefore, the hand has the significance of the equivalent of being as if it was 4x4 tefachim. It's far less than 4 tefachim. The definition of a tefach is the width of a hand. But the same way as we're saying you would be comfortable putting something down on a space 4x4 tefachim because it won't fall off, same way a person is comfortable putting something down into their hand knowing that it won't fall off. So therefore, the hand has the chashivos of 4x4 tefachim. So what
about being comfortable?
Yeah. So what does that? So what does that accomplish? Therefore, now he didn't. So Rashi explains he didn't do a hagbah on it. He didn't lift it up above 3 tefachim. Therefore, he didn't make the kinyan until it comes into his hand. At that point is also the moment it comes into Rishos Rabim. That's what we're talking about. Then we're talking about that he puts his hand over here by the edge. By the edge between Rosh Hashanah Yachad and Rosh Hashanah Abim, within 3 tefachim of the ground, he schleps out the wallet into his hand. It reaches his hand, which constitutes the kinyan, and reaches Rosh Hashanah Abim at the same time. Tosfos, by the way, disagrees with this idea. Among other things, Tosfos says...
So this would be at the junction of the Rosh Hashanah.
Yeah, you put it... Here's the Rosh Hashanah Yachad, here's the Rosh Hashanah Abim, you put your hand here, yeah. Tosfos objects and says, among other things, Tosfos says, who says that you have to lift up something 3 tefachim in order to be koine? Who says something has to be 3 tefachim off the ground in order to make a kinyan on it? Yeah. That's what Tosfos asks. Who says? So Tosfos gives a different explanation of the Gemara over here. What does he say? We're talking about, As far as the Isser Shabbos, you've accomplished, you've carried out Mirshus L'Rishus when your hand is within 3 tefachim. The Isser Gneva is a different matter. That doesn't matter whether your hand is above or below 3 tefachim. But as far as the Isser Shabbos, the fact that your hand is within 3 tefachim is a significant detail. Because within 3 tefachim, and as far as Shabbos, that's the key thing. As far as the Isur Gneva, it wouldn't matter whether it's above or below 3 tefachim, because you don't have to lift it up. This, by the way, comes up in a few other areas in halacha, this question of whether this discussion over here, how much you have to lift up something in order to be koneh. We know, for example, that when you make an eruv chatzeres, an eruv tashulin, or whatever, what does it say in the siddur? You give it to the other person, and he lifts it up a tefach. Because, yes, Tosfos and then many other Rishonim hold, not like Rashi, you don't have to lift up something 3 tefachim in order to be koneh. Only 1 tefach is enough. The Pnei Yeshua, I think it is, talks about that maybe even Rashi would agree that as long as the thing is already 3 tefachim or more off the ground, maybe you wouldn't need to lift it up another 3 tefachim. Here we're talking about it's on the ground, so therefore he says you need to lift it up, so it won't be lovely. The Tzemach Tzedek has a long shuvah about it, and in Eben Ezer and in Hilchos Gittin, when a husband gives the wife a get, does she have to lift it up? Does she have to lift it up in order to be koineh? But does she have to lift it up any specific amount? Again, it all depends on this discussion over here. So far, what did we have? That was saying that when, according to Rav Ashi, according to this last explanation, when would you be chayev by dragging out the money bag into Rosh Hashanah Abim is only if you had your hand there, and that way you accomplish the Isser Shabbos and the Isser Gneva at the same time. So Rav Acha Masni Hachi, Rav Acha had learned the discussion like that, which Rav Acha had held that when you do Meshicha, when you pull something towards you in Rosh Hashanah Abim, that doesn't constitute a kinyan. Therefore, he had to use this explanation that you have your hand over there, and your hand is considered, and putting it in your hand is what accomplishes the kinyan.
Rather than pulling.
Right, because it's in Rosh Hashanah Abim. Ravina learns differently. Ravina learns this last answer differently, that we are talking about he brought it out to Rosh Hashanah over Rosh Hashanah Nami Kana. No, not like we were assuming all this time that you're not Koine and Rosh Hashanah. You could be Koine and Rosh Hashanah as well.
What is it taking?
That's what we're going to discuss now. Actually, both Rav Acha and Ravina are getting their respective opinion by looking at a Mishnah in Bava Kamma. Talking over there about a person stealing an animal, when at what point he becomes chayiv in the kefil, and Avraham Hamisha, no, not Avraham Hamisha, that's when he checks it or whatever, when does he become chayiv in kefil? The Mishnah says, if he was pulling the animal along, the yotze, and going out, or mace versus spilem, and the animal died while it was still on the owner's property, potter, then the owner, that not the owner, the ganav is potter, because he didn't yet make a kinyan on it. But if he lifted up the animal, or he brought it out of the owner's rishus, or mace, and then the animal died chayim. So therefore, Ravina dayak mereisha. So Ravina points out, if you look carefully at the words at the first part of the braisa, you'll see that the implication is any place outside of the owner's rishus, you can be kaina, including rishus rabin. Rav Acha dayak mesefa. Whereas Rav Acha points out the sefa that no. How so? Ravina Dayak Mereisha, he says, Hoya Moshe Vyotze Mumes Vishus Bailam Potter. If you're stepping out the animal and it dies still on the owner's property, you potter, Taima Demes Vishus Bailam, which implies only why you potter, because it died in the owner's property. Hoya Tia Vishus Bailam Mumes Chayim, implying as soon as you took it out of the owner's property, even if it's in full flood Vishus Rabim, never mind Sidir Vishus Rabim that we were talking about, the actual busy street, the middle of the street, then you'd be Chayim. Why? Because at that point you made a kinyan by pulling it out to Vishus Rabim. Rav Acha dayak the sefer. Rav Acha points out the sefer. Higbio, the braisa continues. The Mishnah rather continues. If you lifted up the animal, or you took it out, which implies haitzah drumya dagba, which implies that the taking out has to be similar to the lifting up. Mahagba de osil rishus. Just like the lifting up is something that puts it in his rishus, as they say, he puts it in his hand. Haitzah nami de osil rishus. Therefore, the haitzah in a few minutes. So therefore, the Hatzah also has to be something that comes into his Rishus. We said the Hagbah, it comes into his Rishus because it comes into his hands. The Hatzah has to also be into his Rishus, therefore not into Rishus Rabin. So that's where they get their respective opinions, whether you're able to do a Kinyan by doing the Shich in Rishus Rabin. Okay, the question is then, in that case, Rav Acha Kasha Rishus, Ravina Kasha Sefer, knew what would Rav Acha do with the first part of the Mishnah, and what would Ravina do with the last part? The answer is Reisha, Lord of Acha, like Kasha. The first part is not so hard to understand according to Rav Acha. Kamadalai Asti L'Rishusay, because until it reaches his Rishus, Rishus Bailam Kurina Bay, we still consider it to be Rishus Bailam. When we're talking about that he's pulling out the animal and he brings, what is the first part it said? If he's pulling out the animal and it's Rishus Bailam, then he's Potter. According to Ravina, the implication is as soon as it's out of Rishus Bailam, you potter. Rav Acha would say no. As long as you haven't brought it into your own Rishus, if it's in Rishus Rabim, it's still considered Rishus Bailam. It's still considered in the owner's property. In the owner's property, it's not yet in your property. And that the implication is that still you can't be kohen in Rishus Rabim. Lulav Acha, like Seifel, Reishel, I'm missing the place over here. Yeah, Sefer Ravina Lakasha, and the last part is not a problem according to Ravina. Haitzah, do me a dagba. You're trying to say that the Haitzah and the Hagbah can be similar. That Hagbah implies putting it in your Rishus. Haitzah also implies putting it in your Rishus. Ravina would say not necessarily. Yeah, not necessarily. So yes, you could be taking it out into Rishus Adabim. It's not in your Rishus, but you could still be kind of it. Even though it's not your Rishus, because Ravina is holding, you can make a Kinyan in Rishus Adabim as well. And so therefore, so again, that affects this discussion over here about dragging out the money bag. Do you have to be dragging it into your own Rishus, like Rav Ashi said, dragging it into your own hand? Or according to Ravina, you don't even need that. You can be dragging it out, playing into Rishus Adabim, and at that point you become Chayiv in Gneva. At that point you also become Chayiv in Shabbos, come live with Rabbi Mnei, and therefore you're Potter Rabbi Gneva. The halacha is like Ravina. The halacha is like Ravina that you can be koina in Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara actually mentions that it's throughout Shas. Whenever in general, when you have a machlokas, Rav Acha and Ravina, in all except for three places, the halacha is like Ravina. So here, the halacha is like Ravina. You can be koina in Rosh Hashanah. Yeah.